You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us here today for the Friendship Hour with Elder Rodney T. Osborne, the radio ministry of Friendship Primitive Baptist Church, located on Burnett Road in Cocoa. Now, here with today's broadcast, already in progress, is Elder Rodney T. Osborne.
Lord, I'm grateful to you. Come on, choir. He made a way. Thank you.
How many of you are truly grateful for what the Lord has done for you? For you. Kwajah said he brought me through this and he brought me through that. I don't know how many of y'all have been through this and that. But I've been through this, that, and the other. And through it all, I'm grateful. Because it was nobody but the Lord. I said it was nobody but the Lord. I didn't bring myself through it. I wasn't smart enough. I wasn't good enough. I wasn't strong enough. But it was nobody but the Lord. Oh, when I look back over my life and see what he brought me from and see what he brought me out of and see what he brought me through, I can't help but to say thank you. I can't help but to give him some praise. Mama told me when somebody do something for you, you ought to tell them thank you. Yeah, when I think about what the Lord has done for me, I can stand all day and say, thank you, Lord, and it still wouldn't be enough. Oh, glory. Grateful. We're truly grateful for what the Lord has done for us. Our scripture this morning is coming from the book of James. I look at my watch this morning and look like we are ahead of schedule. I usually don't get up to about 12. It's about 10 till now, so. Somebody put in a request to let us get out early next Sunday. I would hate to do it two Sundays in a row. Y'all start getting y'all wouldn't even know how to act, man. Yeah, y'all running home and try to watch the basketball game. We're gonna do what the Lord. One thing I learned, you say what the Lord put on your heart to say, and you go and sit on down somewhere. And Brother World, when I first started preaching, y'all would have loved me, because boy, I think I was preaching like 12 minutes. That's what he gave me. He gave me 12 minutes worth, and I sat on down too. Yeah. Yeah, you ain't worried about it. He done gave me more than 12 minutes now. Yes, James chapter 3. Begin reading at the first verse. James chapter 3, beginning at the first verse. And you find these words. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able to also brittle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeneth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how a great matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tame and have been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so to be. Doeth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain yield both salt water and fresh? I'll stop right there. The word of God for the people of God. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Yeah, every hour I need thee. Whoa, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Savior, I come to, I come to thee. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And let all of God's people say, amen. 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 Lord, help us. I'm just full of surprises today, huh? My Lord, my Lord. Jesus must be on the way back. Amen. We truly give honor to God, who is our Father. We give honor to his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And to our comforter and guide, the Holy Spirit. Thank God today for these preachers today. We thank God for Minister Martin. And we are truly, truly ecstatic and happy to see Minister Bland in the house today. I would say, Brother Bland, that you was talked up this morning. Yeah, we talked you up this morning. I've been thinking about you all week, And I thank God that you walked through the doors today. Amen. We're truly thankful. We're thankful today for these deacons and these mothers today. We give honor to you all. We thank God for this choir. And these musicians today, we truly give honor to them, to these ushers that are so posted so beautifully in the back. We thank God for them as well. Amen. And we thank God for each and every one of you today that have come out to the house of the worship. And I say, when you come to the house of worship, don't just come to observe. When you come to church, you come as a participant. Yeah, everybody is a participant because you come to give God worship. When I look around the church, everybody is looking so pretty and so nice and dressed so nicely, and you look so blessed. Everybody have a reason to give God praise on this morning. Look at here, if you don't even have fine clothes, and if you don't have a nice car, you don't live in a nice house, you don't might not even have a job, but just for the simple fact that he woke you up this morning, that's enough to shout all day. Coming to church and being all stale and dry. Yeah, but I done seen you at football games and basketball games. I done seen some of y'all in the club. I know how you get down. Yeah. Preacher, what you doing at the club? I ain't always been saved. Yeah. Hey. Some of y'all saving still going to the club. Oh, Lord have mercy. We truly honor those that join us on Facebook today, and we truly honor my lovely wife today. God bless her. God bless her. Yeah. I don't know what she want, but I thank God for LaKara coming in the house today. It's about to go down. I can tell you that right now. It's about to go down. We won't be before you very long today. We want to do what God has ordered, and then we want to get out your way. We want to look at the just read scripture in James chapter 3. I just want to look at that sixth verse, and we're gonna work our way through these whole 12 verses that we read, but just pull out that sixth verse, and it says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." Just want to talk a little bit today from the subject, watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. I was tossed to and fro from two subjects, and watch your mouth was one of them, and the other one was you talk too much. Any of us that was raised in the same manner I was raised, you have heard the phrase, watch your mouth. They may not even have understood or heard what you said, but if you talked under your breath, and if they was giving you a little grace, they'll give you a look. I don't know what you said, but you better watch your mouth. Now, if there was no grace involved, whether you mumbled or you said what they would understand, you would hope they didn't have rings on. Because you was bound to get a backhand. Because you had to watch how you came out your mouth. See, if you was raised the way I was raised, certain words you was not permitted to say. You dare not call anybody a lie. A lie was a cuss word. And if you said that, I messed around one time and I told my mama that my brother was a liar, and instead of him getting in trouble, I got the pain. Because you had to watch how you spoke. You didn't speak to grown folks. I'm talking about folks that they probably a little bit over 50. They know you didn't just come out your mouth to grown folks. In fact, if mama said to go and take the trash out, whether you like it or not, you went and took the trash out. You didn't turn around and say, I'll do it in a minute. Oh, why I gotta take the trash out today? I always take the trash out. I told somebody the other day, I said, look, when I was coming up, if grown folks was in a conversation, we was nowhere in the vicinity. And if they thought we was eavesdropping, trying to hear and trying to listen what was going on. Boy, how things have changed. Now the grown folks is telling the children grown folks' business. And we wonder what's wrong with our children. Because we're treating children like they're grown. And now they feel like they grown, they can just say what they want to say. I can tell you right now, I don't care who your mama and daddy is, but you're going to talk to me with some respect. Or just don't even talk to me. Just don't even talk to me. Because don't make me go swing on your mama or daddy. They come in with that foolishness. That's what's about to happen. Because we have to teach. We got to go back to teaching our children. People say, the children have gone wild, and I say no. The children is gonna be children. What have changed is the style of parenting. We don't parent like we used to. Yeah, y'all remember the time when if you went down the street and you act up, you got it then, and by the time you got back home, the news had done made it back. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have cell phones or Instagram or none of that stuff. But the word got back. The power of speech is one of the greatest powers God has given us. With the tongue, man can praise God. They can pray to God. They can preach the word and lead the lost to Christ. But with that same tongue. Oh, he can tell lies that can ruin an individual's reputation or break a person's heart. Oh, the ability to speak words, to be able to influence others and to accomplish tremendous tasks
And yet we have taken this God-given ability. We have taken it for granted. Here in this book of James, we have James, the brother of Jesus, as the writer, and James was the type of apostle. First off, he didn't follow Jesus on Jesus' earthly ministry. He didn't join in until after the resurrection. And James was an in-your-face, no-holds-barred, tell-it-like-it-is apostle. And here he says to the Christian, if you're going to be Christian, be a real one. Oh, I need to jump on James' bandwagon right now and tell some folks, if you're going to be Christian, now we ain't coming. We ain't got time for none of this fake and phony stuff. You need to be a real Christian. I'm not just talking about coming to church on Sunday. Some of y'all think because you come to church on Sunday, you get all prettied up and you put the Bible under your arm and you know a verse or two. You think you got everything together, but all you're doing is practicing because you're not real. You're not real with yourself, and you're not real with God. And James says that if you're gonna be a real Christian, be real. And James has explained to us two characteristics of a mature Christian. Yeah, we've been talking about being spiritually mature. If you wanna really talk about spiritual maturity, or read about and learn about spiritual maturity, read the book of James.
Yes, sir.
Because James, he explains to us in the first chapter that the Christian is patient when he is in trouble. He says he is patient. He says, but to let the patience have her perfect work. That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Yeah, he says that we ought to be patient. We ought to be patient in when we are going through trials and tribulation. We ought to be patient. Sometimes we want to rush God. We want to rush God when we're going through. But patience. Patience. When you get patient, when you have patience, God allow God to work this thing out in the manner that you want to work it out. Everything is gonna work out just fine. In chapter 2, he says that we ought to practice the truth. We ought to practice the truth. He talked about faith and works and works without faith is dead. See, it takes faith to do works in the ministry. Yeah, it takes faith. It takes faith to do works in the ministry. It takes works. You got to work, and it takes faith to work. It takes faith to keep coming back week after week, dealing with folks that you know don't like you. It takes faith. It takes faith praying for somebody who done stabbed you in your back. Done lied on you, done scandalized your name, but yet you can still smile and give them the shirt off your back. You can't do that on your own. It takes faith. He said you got to practice. You got to practice. You got to practice the truth. There's no none. The only truth that I even know about is the Word of God. It don't do you no good to read the Word and to study the Word and get the Word in your heart if you don't apply it to your everyday living. I know folks that can quote scripture from Genesis to Revelation, but they live in a hellish lifestyle. Oh, because you can quote it don't mean nothing to me. Because when I look at how you're living, That's why a lot of folks don't like to come. Don't like to come to the church. And a lot of folks don't want to join the church because they see phony Christians running around here quoting scripture and judging and passing judgment and doing this and doing that. And yeah, you can quote the scripture, but they also see you out on the street corner cussing folks out. On your job, acting a fool. And they see all of this, but James says you need to practice. Need to practice the truth. Yeah, and here in chapter 3, he shares the third characteristic of a mature believer. He says a mature believer has power over his tongue. Yeah. The Christians that James wrote to were apparently having serious problems with their tongues. He said to them, I believe in chapter 1, he said he warned them to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And I truly believe it was just the Christians of that day. We don't have that problem. We don't have that problem today. We don't. We don't have people that have a problem controlling their tongue. Not here in the church. We don't have that issue. We don't have that issue. But I'm just telling y'all how it was back then. I'm just telling y'all how it was back then. Y'all don't worry about it today. We don't have that issue right now. So apparently they had an issue. They had an issue with the tongue, and James had to give them a warning. Mm-hmm. And today I see that James revealed three powers of the tongue. Three powers of the tongue. Because we do know that the tongue has power. The tongue has power. The first power that I come across is the power to direct. It's the power to direct. Apparently, everybody in this assembly wanted to teach and to be a spiritual leader. And James says he warns them. He said, not many of you should act as teachers. They probably was impressed with the authority and the prestige of the office and they forgot about the tremendous responsibility and accountability that comes with preaching and teaching the word of God. And James said, many of y'all don't need to be up here. I guess we have the same problem today. There's some folks that's teaching and preaching, and they have no business, none whatsoever, standing in front of people teaching God's word. See, as a teacher, you have the ability to have influence over others. You have to be careful with what you say. I'm so tired of hearing folks that call themselves teaching and preaching the word and coming to me with their opinion. I don't want to hear your opinion. I want to hear what God got to say. Your opinion does not matter to me. What does the word say? And folks will pass on their opinion, and opinions will go year after year after year after year. Folks will hold on to it and swear that it is the word when it is not the word. Lord, somebody need to help me today. And Paul says, when you are a teacher, you got to be careful of what you ask for. Because when you teach and preach the word, you are held to a strict judgment. Everybody want to preach. Everybody want to be in the pulpit. I don't get it. There's nothing prestigious about being up here. I tell you, if you want to trade places with me anytime, I don't have a problem doing it. The only reason I'm up here is because I'm being obedient to God's calling. And still at that, I question him every day. Yeah, are you me? Especially when I have to deal with something. Let me leave it alone. I'm talking about watching your mouth. I gotta watch my mouth. Teachers must use their tongue to share God's truth. And furthermore, teachers must practice what they preach. Think of the damage that can be done by a teacher that is unprepared and not living by the word. It can be damaging to the body of Christ. That's why I say, I know we got a Sunday school superintendent, and I thank God for him. But when we put teachers up to teach the word of God, that's not a time to be trying to train. That's not a time to try to build confidence. No, you build confidence in the background. You first got to find out what they know. You just don't put folks up. You just don't have folks getting up in front of your children teaching math, and they don't know math. You don't have them teaching science, and they haven't learned the full logistics of science. So why is it that we just put anybody in front of God's people to teach the word of God? And before I can put somebody up, before I can call a preacher in to speak over the flock that God has put me here to shepherd, I gotta be in prayer. God has to lead and to guide me. I done had preachers call me since I've been to Friendship. Man, I want to come preach at your church. And the Lord said, you better not let them juggles come here and talk over your people. Oh, they got a hidden agenda. Yes, and when you listen, you have to listen. When it comes to teaching the word of God, you have to teach the word of God. I don't teach Osborne. Because if I taught Osborne, all of us would be astray. We all be in a world of mess. I have to stick to the word of God. And look, he says, it's like a bit. The tongue is like a bit. It pinches in the mouth of a horse, but it directs the horse in what direction you want it to go in. You use the bit to direct the horse. Oh, you use the rudder to direct the ship. It's a little bit of rudder, and it directs a big ship. And look, the ship is dealing with the wind and the waves and the rain, but yet that little rudder is able to direct the ship. Oh, Lord, your tongue. It says it will defile the whole body. will direct the whole body. And your tongue, as a teacher, will lead people to hell right along with you. Power. Power, power, power to direct. And then he tells us that there's power to destroy. In some churches, there are members or officers who cannot control their tongues. And the result is destruction. And you know it's them because let them move out of town. Or be replaced. Or just don't happen to come that Sunday. Or that conference. And look how everything runs smooth. Sometimes I don't get upset at who don't come, who ain't here. Because all they're going to do is raise hell while they're here anyway. And get in the way of my worship and get in the way of my praise. Now, that's okay, you're not here. And watch the power of God begin to move. Like a fire can heat things up. We all have heard the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But that is so false. Fire burns and it hurts. And words can burn and hurt. Fire spreads. And the more fuel you give it, the hotter, the faster, and the farther it will spread. And it spreads. And as it spreads, fire destroys. And the words have the power to destroy. Not only is the tongue like a fire, but it's also like a dangerous animal. Some animals that are poisonous and unruly. Some tongues spread nothing but poison. And the deceptive thing about poison is that it works secretly and slowly. And then it kills. Poisonous tongues can do great damage. It can kill your self-esteem. It has devastated relationships. It will ruin a career. It will kill a ministry. Would you turn a hungry lion or an angry snake loose in your Sunday morning service? No, you won't. But unruly tongues accomplish the same thing. And James reminds us, he says, look here, animals can be tamed. Lions can be tamed. Tigers can be tamed. I got a dog right now. I tell Coco, sit. Coco will sit. Coco down. Coco will get down. Coco up. She'll get up and do everything I tell her to do. She can be tamed. She know a certain spot to use the bathroom. And she can, any animal, man can tame. Yes, but the tongue.
No man can tame.
No man. You can try. They all in the same boat. They you could try your best to tame them, yeah. To tame the tongue. But no man can tame the tongue. But I do know somebody who's able. To put the tongue under subjection. I know somebody who's able. When the tongue is running around here spreading poison, I don't try to tame it. I put them in the hands of God. when the rumors are being spread, and I don't even try to settle it down, I put them in the hands of God. I can't do nothing with it. When the gossip is being spread like wildfire, I put them in the hands of God. You have the power. The tongue has the power to direct. It has the power to destroy. And then, I'm out of here, y'all. But then it has the power to delight. It has the power to delight. The fountain provides cool water that man needs to stay alive. Water is life-giving. Water is life-giving. And our words can be life-giving. We have the ability to speak life into folks. We have the ability to speak life into ourselves. Y'all don't hear me talking today. The tongue has the ability to give life. The tongue is also delightful because it's like a tree. All right. Trees provide beauty and shade, and they bear fruit. Our words can help shelter and encourage a weary traveler. It can help feed a hungry soul. But James issued a warning. He says a fountain cannot give two kinds of water. A tree cannot bear two kinds of fruit. The tongue that blesses the father and then turn around and curse the man that's made out of God's own him. He needs some spiritual medicine. The problem is, my brothers and sisters, is not the tongue. The problem is, it's the heart. The Bible tells us what's in the man's heart will proceed out of a man's mouth. And that defileth the whole body. So if your heart is not right, I tell people all the time, if you want to know what's in somebody's heart, just talk to them long enough. Eventually, it'll come out of their mouth. So we ought to fill our hearts with God's word and yield to the Holy Spirit, and he can use you to bring delight to others. Or when we are filled with the word of God, and when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide us, all the words that will come out of our mouth will be praises to his holy name. The words that will come out of our mouth will be songs of sweet Zion. We will have words that will edify the body of Christ. We will have words that will comfort those who are hurting. We will have words that will testify of his goodness and his mercy. We will be a light in a dark, dark world. We will have the words to tell them about a man named Jesus. Does anybody know this man that I'm talking about? When your tongue is speaking right, you'll talk about a man named Jesus. Oh, well, just in case you don't know him, let me introduce you to him. Oh, he's a bridge over troubled water. Oh, he's a doctor in my sick room. He's a lawyer in my courtroom. Oh, you still don't know him. He's a sweet rose of Sharon. Oh, he's a lily in the valley, the bright in the morning star. Maybe you still don't know him. Well, he's the one that came down through 40 and two generations. He's the one that took on an old rugged cross. He's the one that took nails in his hands and spikes in his feet. He was stretched wide and he was hung high. He's the one that laid his head in the locks of his shoulder. Y'all still don't know him. He's the one that died. He died. He died. He died. He died. Well, I still don't know him. He's the one that they laid in a borrowed tomb, stayed there for three long days, just in case you still don't know him. He's the one that got up early on the Thursday morning with all power. Power to walk right, power to talk right, power to live right, power to love right. Yes, yes. And because he lives, I can watch my mouth. Because he lives, I can speak love out of my mouth. Because he lives, I can speak life out of my life, out of my mouth. Because he lives, I can talk to you with some sense. Because he lives. You gotta watch your mouth. You gotta watch your mouth. You gotta watch your mouth. We have a tendency. And I want you to understand, James was talking to the church. Amen. He wasn't out in the back store. He wasn't over on the other side. He was talking to the church. And sometimes we talk so rough and tough to folks. We hurt folks' feelings. And some of y'all, we can't even tell you nothing. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. And I don't care what they say, and I don't care how they feel. You the one James was talking about. I said earlier, if we're going to be a Christian, be a real Christian. There's nothing wrong with telling the truth. But sometimes it's not what you say. It's how you say it. And your words have the power to destroy a life. There's a way we ought to correct folks. That's why I say everybody ain't got no business trying to correct people. You don't know how to talk to folks. And the thing about it is, you can't go to certain people talking to them any kind of way. I'm one of them. And I say every action causes a reaction. And if you come to me all twisted and turning in the wrong way, I don't know how I'm going to react. We don't talk to people. We don't talk down on folks. All loud and boisterous. Oh, hold up. You got to bring it down a level. I know I'm loud. I'm loud. People tell me I'm loud all the time. But see, there's a difference in my voice. You don't get come with the voice because you got the body movement and the facial expressions and all that. We truly have to approach matters, and we're going to have matters that will come our way. Folks will turn us in the wrong direction. Sometimes no response is the best response. You ain't got to respond to everything. What you need to do, if you don't agree with it, talk to God about it. Because I can guarantee you that if it's not right in God's house, he's going to take care of it. Amen. Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Because you talk too much. The doors of the church are open. One who's outside of the safety ark of God. Today will be a good day to give your life to him. Because the truth of the matter is, tomorrow is not promised to any of us. We've been talking in church school about how the day of the Lord will truly come. In other words, Jesus is coming back. And when he returns, you will want to be part of his family. Because when he comes back, he's coming back for family. He's coming back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. Will it be one? Come by letter of Christian experience, a candidate for baptism. The altar is open. There may be one that desires prayer. You come to the altar, you can stand right where you're at. But I truly believe everybody needs prayer. Come on, somebody make some noise.
Thank you for tuning into the Friendship Hour with Pastor Rodney T. Osborne. You can also join us in person at Friendship Primitive Baptist Church at 385 South Burnett Road, Cocoa, Florida. We have church school at 9:30 a.m., worship services at 11 a.m., youth Bible study at Wednesday, 5:30 p.m., followed by adult Bible study at 6:45. For a prayer request, email us at fpbcofcocoa@gmail.com. To sow a seed to our ministry, you can cash up us at Friendship 2 Cocoa. May God bless you richly on this week, and until next week, let us continue to grow up together in Christ.